of Eden. Now, today's really message is about the book of Ruth. And the reason it is that the book of Ruth is traditionally read on Shavuot. The reason it is because Ruth takes place during the barley harvest to the wheat harvest. And so it kind of takes place during that section where we count the Omer between Passover and Shavuot. And so that's the reason why it's traditionally read in the synagogue on Shavuot itself. But I want to begin with really what the theme of this talk is about from the book of Joel. And I'm going to want us to repeat the first line of this in Joel 2:25. Just that first line there. Let's say it together. I will repay you for the years the locusts have eaten. Okay? That's really what this is all about. Because the story of Ruth is a remarkable story of restoration, hope, and prophecy. That's what this book is really about. And like many of the Bible stories, it involves a down and outer, a kind of a marginalized person in Ruth, who is a Moabite, who is transformed as the story goes on, because God has a tremendous calling on her life as well as all others. In the New Testament, you see constant examples of the down and outers being transformed. You see lepers, or the poor, or widows, or the alien being transformed in our eyes through the work of Yeshua. And that's really also what the book of Ruth is all about. So the story of Ruth begins in Ruth 1:1 with a play on words. And let's look at Ruth 1:1 here just for a second. It says this, in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man from Bethlehem in Judea, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. Now, notice it says that there was a famine in the land, and they lived in Bethlehem. That's a play on words. Who knows the meaning of Bethlehem? Say it out. House of bread. So here's a play on words. Here's a famine in the midst of the house of bread, because the house of bread always represents abundance. So there's a famine within kind of the house of abundance. It's a paradox of sorts here in the scriptures. Now what happens as we go through the story is that the physical experiences that Ruth and Naomi and all them go through, which is the beginning, it begins with lack and later abundance, is a preface to a spiritual experience that they have, which is loss and restoration, especially in the case of Naomi. And so the physical is represented by what happens spiritually. Now, their story begins with Naomi. Naomi in the Hebrew means pleasant. And she travels with her husband and her two sons, like we just read here, to a place called Moab. Her husband dies, and then her sons marry Moabite women, one of whom is Ruth. And then they die. And so Naomi is literally left with nothing at all. And in fact, she becomes a widow, as we can see. And so notice, let's turn to verse 6 of Ruth chapter 1. So she's left with nothing, but now suddenly things begin to turn around, but it's hinted at here in the scriptures. So let's look at it. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. So notice, she left because there was nothing in the land. She's now living in the land of Moab. She's lost everything in the process, her husband, her two sons. And now all of a sudden they hear that the Lord is back in Bethlehem. And so they start to head backward, and that's a precursor to God bringing restoration into Ruth's life, into Naomi's life, and ultimately Ruth's life as well. Now the question, though, is what about the daughters-in-law? Because really, going to a foreign country for them, which is the land of Israel, there's nothing for them there. I mean, in other words, they have no husband now. They have no future. They're going to be a foreigner in a land. And so Naomi implores her daughters-in-law to stay, basically to go back to the land of Moab. And one of them does agree, but the other one, Ruth, wants to stay on. And it's interesting because Ruth, who's been with Naomi during all these years, all she's seen is tragedy. In other words, she went with Ruth and she saw her father-in-law die. She saw her brother-in-law die. She saw her husband die. Ruth's seen everything, and so it's almost like Naomi is kind of poison. But notice here, though, that there was something about Naomi that attracted Ruth, because she wanted to cling to her no matter what. She didn't want to go back. She wanted to go to this foreign country with Ruth, with Naomi, despite the tremendous losses. And so let's look at this classic verses in Ruth 1, 11, 7, 16 and 17. And it says this, "But Ruth replied, 'Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. And may the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me.'" So, could somebody close that door back there? That would be great. Thank you. Now they arrive back into Bethlehem. They come back to Bethlehem together. Again, this is the house of bread in a physical sense, because God is providing for them there. But then also spiritually, something else happens to them in Bethlehem. Now, who else is from Bethlehem? Tell me. Yeshua. Right? Yeshua's from Bethlehem. So there's a hint here of some kind of restoration that's going to happen, not just physically, but spiritually for Ruth and for Naomi as well. And so let's look at Naomi's response as she enters into back to Bethlehem after all this tragedy. Verses 19 through 21 of chapter 1. It says this, "So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem, and when they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, 'Can this be Naomi?' 'Don't call me Naomi,' she told them, 'but call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought me misfortune upon me.'" Now the word for bitter in Hebrew is mara. And who knows that word from another story? Another moror, right? Bitter herbs, right? What we have in at Passover. And so Naomi, who is named Pleasant, is now she wants to be renamed Mara because of the bitterness of the life that she's experienced in the last number of years. But notice here in verse 22, the next verse, because it's a hint of what is to come. Verse 22 says this, "So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning." That's the Feast of First Fruits of Barley. That's during Passover. That's when Yeshua rose from the dead, which means that she's come back at a point in time when there's going to be a transformation. Because this holiday of Passover, which she's coming back in during, is a time of deliverance, of restoration. And that's what she's ultimately going to experience for Ruth and ultimately for Naomi. Now in chapter 2, we have the figure of Boaz, who is introduced. He literally is a redeemer. He's actually what is known as a kinsman redeemer, which is a person who is responsible, he's related to Naomi, and he's actually related to Naomi's husband who died, and he has a responsibility to marry the widow and to raise up new children for him. That's a kinsman redeemer. But the reality is he becomes a redeemer in every sense of the word. And he ultimately buys her husband, Naomi's husband's property, and ultimately buys Ruth, and we'll see that in just a second. So anyway, Boaz is introduced, and then all of a sudden Ruth, who has to try to collect some food because she's poor, they've come back to the other country, she goes out to collect surplus in the agricultural fields, that's known as peah in Hebrew, and it turns out she ends up in Boaz's field, of all places, collecting surplus. They don't know who he is, they've never met him, they don't know anything about him, but he just ends up there. And this is what's fascinating about the story of Ruth, is that God is not mentioned with respect to any of the, quote, coincidences that happened to Ruth and Naomi. He plays a behind-the-scenes role. That's what seems to happen. Unlike other passages in the Scripture where God is very much involved in activity, like in the Exodus where God's intervening directly, here God is playing something behind the scenes, but he's orchestrating events. And what it reminds us is that God is always at work, even if we don't notice it right away. Even if We feel like he's departed from us completely. Even if we've turned away from the Lord into some degree, he's still at work orchestrating events on our behalf, even though we don't even see it. I've shared this story before, but I'll share it again. I finished law school back in the 70s, and I was praying about what the Lord wanted me to do. I'd been praying for a number of months, and then at a big event, which happened to be when the Lord also revealed that Stacy and I would be married, and I talked about that a couple weeks ago. But at this same event, the Lord revealed that he wanted me to use the practice of law to assist those who didn't have money to afford it, but to use it to help people to see the reality of God. So that's what the Lord showed me. But I ended up on Capitol Hill. It was the opposite, right? Instead of being with the poor and the down and out and the people that need them, with all the powerful people. So I ended up there instead. And years later, as I was seeking the Lord showed me, as I've shared the story before, that I was actually out of God's will by being up on Capitol Hill. And then the Lord showed me that he wanted me to give up all of my work on the Hill and ultimately go into the ministry. So I thought pretty much that the original call in my life, it was gone. That's what I realized. Then when we moved down here, as you know, in 1990, in 1994, that's when we began Russian Immigration Services here in this congregation, ministering to all the Russian immigrants to our city. Now, I never realized what God was doing. It was only much later that I saw, because through the process, I went back and got training in immigration law, and then I started assisting all these Russian Jewish folks who'd come to town, didn't charge them any money, assisting them to come to know the Lord. And suddenly, years later, I realized that that which God had shown me in 1977, which I departed from, I was now fulfilling 20 years later in 1997. You see, that's also the case with Naomi and Ruth, is that God was working behind the scenes, even though they didn't see it. They thought everything was lost. Turn with me to Ruth 2, verses 10 through 12. Ruth 2, 10 through 12. At this is when she realized she meets Boaz in the field. At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground, and she exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me a foreigner?" And Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother in your homeland and came to live with a people that you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Now, sometimes that we wonder, is it worth it? I want you to be honest with me. I want everybody to be honest with me here. I want you to raise your hand if there's been a time where you've really felt, is it really worth it? Raise your hand. That's a lot of people, right? Just remember this, that God sees. God sees. In this case, Boaz is a messianic figure. He represents God's grace to Naomi and to Ruth. Ruth's good deeds that she's committed by helping her mother-in-law has caught Boaz's attention. And I want us to notice something interesting in verse 12. You'll see in verse 12 right up here that Boaz says specifically to Ruth that may you be richly rewarded, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. The word wings in Hebrew is the word kanaf. And in other words, what he's really saying to Ruth is that your personal sacrifice to serve God and your mother-in-law has brought you under the protection of the God of Israel, has brought you under his wings, so that something is going to happen to you. At this point, Naomi and Ruth begin to see what's happening, because God is now restoring the years that the locusts have eaten. You know, in this story, everything seems to go quickly, but the reality is the deaths of Naomi's husband and Ruth's husband, that had occurred years and years before. So for many years, they were in this condition. Naomi had lost everything. She'd lost her husband. She had lost her two sons. Ruth had lost her husband and gave up her own homeland to be with Naomi. And the reality was that these two women had very, very little when they came back to Bethlehem in the land of Israel. But as Boaz begins to supply Naomi and Ruth with literal food so that they can survive after the famine, God will use Boaz to restore everything to the women that they have lost and more. That's what happens. Naomi tells Ruth at some point to go to Boaz at night and uncover his feet and see what happens next. And so let's see what happens next in chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. Chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. In the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." Notice the word garment up here. That's the same word kanaf that was used to talk about the wings of God's protection. And so in this case, Boaz had said to Ruth earlier, he had told her that the land that the Lord, will take you under his kanaf, his wings for protection. And now Ruth is turning it around and she's saying to Boaz, "Spread your kanaf, your protection over me, because you are my redeemer." Now, who is really the redeemer? It's Yeshua, right? Because Boaz is a pre-Yeshua figure. He acts like Yeshua in redeeming the foreigner. That's what's amazing here, right? He agrees. He will take her. And then he goes to the city because what he finds out is there's someone a little closer in line who has entitlement to Naomi's husband's property and to Ruth as well. So he's got to see if the man will take, will assume responsibility. So he goes into the city and there's 10 elders who come, a minion of sorts, and they have a little discussion with the man. And he says to him first, "So would you like to take Naomi's husband's property?" "Oh yeah, of course, man. Add a few more acres to my plot. I'm going to get wealthy." It's a good setup. It was a nice setup by Boaz. Nice setup. Then all of a sudden he says to him, "Well, if you take the property, you get Ruth too to be your wife." Whoa, she's a foreigner. She's marginalized. She's a down and outer. She's going to taint my reputation. I don't need that. Now I'm adding a little to the story, right? That's not really in the story. But that's actually what happens. He turns away. He doesn't want Ruth. Why would he want Ruth? This marginalized person, this kind of loser, right? But Boaz sees beyond the external into the heart of the self-sacrificing woman. And he redeems her, takes her, and saves her. Now, Boaz takes Ruth to become his wife. And she ultimately gives birth. And let's look at what happens in Ruth 4, verses 16 and 17. Ruth 4, 16 and 17. After the birth, "Then Naomi took the child, laid him on her lap, and cared for him. And the woman living there said, 'Naomi has a son.' And they named him Obed. And he was the father of Jesse, the father of King David," is what it was. Now, notice what's said here of Naomi. She has a son, but it's not her son, right? It's Ruth's son. In fact, she has no relationship to this son at all, because she has no relationship to Ruth. It was her son who had died, and so on. But what had happened? Ruth had been adopted by Naomi for all intents and purposes. Really, she became part of the Jewish people. That's really what it is. In fact, Ruth is known as the ideal convert because she takes upon herself everything of Israel and gives everything up. And so because of that, then Naomi is able to glory in the son that passes down from Ruth. And so in other words, Ruth gave herself fully to Naomi, and originally for the benefit of Naomi, and now for Ruth, the benefits redound to her as well. It's an amazing story. But here's what's the interesting part as I start to come to a close here about this whole story. The story begins in Bethlehem, the very first verse, begins in Bethlehem, and it ends with the birth of the grandfather of the son of Ruth, who is King David, who is a direct descendant of Yeshua. That's how it's stored. In other words, both David and Yeshua are born in Bethlehem, the house of bread or abundance. Not just abundance in physical things, but in spiritual things as well. Naomi lost all. Ruth gave up all. But God restored all and more to these women for what they had. Remember that Boaz is a prefigure of Yeshua, both in lineage and in action. And you can hear Boaz through Yeshua's words. Let's see what Yeshua says here in John 10. You can almost hear Boaz through Yeshua's words. This is what he says. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That was Ruth and Naomi's experience. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. That's Boaz and Yeshua's words. That's what God promises for you and me. You see, God will restore the years that the locusts have eaten because he is a God of restoration. That's the story of Ruth. Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this incredible story, Lord, of redemption, restoration, transformation, Lord God, of these poor women who had lost everything, but then, by your incredible grace, through circumstances beyond anything that they could see, beyond their control, beyond their knowledge, that you turned everything around for your glory and restored them, oh God. Father, I know there's many people in this place that are hurting in some respect, Lord God. Father, that people have lost things, who've gotten off the path, whatever it might be, who experienced deep disappointment with circumstances in their lives where things seemed to go in one direction in the beginning and then took a major departure in another. But Lord, we have hope because of the story of Ruth, Boaz, and Yeshua, Lord God. And so, Father, we just turn to you right now. I pray for each and every person who's going through that right now, Lord, that they would cast these fears, these discouragements, these disappointments, their despair upon you because you care for them, Lord. And that, Father, that what you began, you'll complete it in the day of Yeshua, oh God. Father, you will, you are faithful who promised, and you will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen and amen.